This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn joining us right now. Co-host for Sumer Sports Show and the Fantasy Dirt Podcast on SI Now, formerly NFL Network, Sirius XM, and DirecTV. She is Lindsay Rhodes. Good morning to you, Lindsay.
Hi, how are you guys?
Doing well. First off, we've heard all the latter part of last week and earlier this week that the Ravens were in on the Davante Adams possible trade from Las Vegas. We heard this morning that the Ravens are 100% out of that trade.
Oh.
What do you know in reference to this rumor?
I don't know what I know, but I know that they should be in my opinion. This is the one team that I have found. We had a big discussion about this on the Sumer Sports Show this week with Thomas Dimitroff. We picked our favorite landing spots for Davante Adams. And to me, the Ravens are the one team that makes the most sense. So, I mean, it doesn't feel like a them move. You guys know they're super disciplined with their roster building, and to take on a big contract for a 31, soon to be 32-year-old wide receiver doesn't really feel like a Ravens type of move. But I just figure that if there is a year where it makes sense to make a move like this, I kind of feel like this is the year that it does for the Ravens, because I feel like he's an extra piece. The team that's going to get him, to me, feels like a team. First of all, you have to be a team that has the talent to go to a Super Bowl, right? Like, otherwise, why? Because he is an expensive, aging wide receiver who's still very, very good, but how much longer will he be very good? And I think that you have to be a team for whom it makes sense to take that roll of the dice. And to me, that means that it puts you over the top to win a Super Bowl. So, I mean, I get all the conversation about the Jets, but to me, they don't feel like they're a wide receiver away from you know, being competitive. So, and maybe you guys disagree, but I think that Devontae,
I don't disagree at all. I don't agree wholeheartedly. They have other problems.
Right. And so, I mean, good God, they just fired their coach. This is a team that we're just going to plug Davante Adams in, and they're going to be fine. I think that the Ravens, if you put him in, and help me talk through this, which again, as you just said, might be for a moot point, but maybe it's fun. If you put him on the outside, you've got Zay in the slot, you maybe bump Rashad Bateman down to like a three. Now he's a really good three. You've got all of them as weapons in the passing game that can open up some space for Derrick Henry and Lamar in the run game, which have been a strength of this team. We all know that they're not a really volume heavy passing attack, right? But like, maybe the threat of that would help the thing that they ultimately are built to do, and that's run the ball. I really like it. And I think that the AFC feels more open this year than it really has in the past few years. Like, Kansas City, I mean, we all know that they'll still be in it at the end, but don't they feel more vulnerable than they even did last year? Which is weird since they're undefeated. They're such an enigma. Buffalo's kind of like, what's going on there? I don't know. It just makes so much sense to me for them to do it. Why are they out?
totally agree with you. I think the AFC is wide open. I think the Chiefs are vulnerable, despite the fact no one's beaten them yet. However, I do have a question. What do you think about the Dean Pease move right now? You have a new defense coordinator who played for the Ravens, played for Dean Pease.
Yes.
Who do you think made that decision, and was it a good one?
Well, I think it's a very good decision. And at the very least, it just kind of gives them a little bit of stability and an extra set of eyes on the defensive side of the ball, which has clearly been you know, a little out of sorts this year. The pass defense is obviously, I mean, the run defense has been insane, right? They're fifth in EPA per rush against. They're number one in rushing yards per play allowed, just 3.1 a pop. So, like, clearly that's working. And you could make an argument, as I did earlier today on Twitter, about the Vikings. Like, sometimes if you just rank really low in pass defense because you're giving up a ton of yards, that does not tell the story that you are a poor pass defense. Like, the Vikings are just getting thrown on from a volume sense so frequently because they have a lead. They've had a lead for like all but like 3 minutes of the entire season. So clearly teams are throwing on them, and then that just leads to volume. But if you look at the advanced stats, teams aren't throwing successfully against them. It doesn't mean they're a bad pass defense just because they rank 30th in pass defense in terms of the traditional box score volume stats. But in the Ravens case, where they're, the Vikings are 31st. Ravens, anyway, they're all in the same ballpark here. And yeah, Ravens are 31st. They are actually giving up a lot. And, you know, sixth most passing yards per play, seventh highest EPA per play allowed, second highest yards after catch over expectation allowed. So something's not quite clicking in the passing game that I think could use an extra set of eyes, some attention. Historically, obviously, the Ravens defense is kind of been one that you can't do this against. And so maybe bringing in Dean Pease just helps them kind of get that figured out. Is Marlon Humphrey playing this week? Because, like, the last thing that we need is you know, fewer pieces in the secondary.
Well, he's banged up, but I don't think they've given a confirmation of whether or not he's going to be available. And even though Davante Adams won't be on the field for the Ravens on Sunday at 1, I can't believe I'm saying this, Lindsay. I think Washington versus Baltimore is must-see TV on Sunday. Give me your thoughts on these two teams meeting up.
Well, first of all, my first thought is that it should not be happening in the 1 o'clock Eastern window. This should be the Sunday Night Football game. This should be the one in prime time, right? If you look at the entire schedule, first of all, nobody wants to see Cincinnati and the Giants. But secondarily, even looking at the 1 o'clock window, which is always stacked from a matchup standpoint, I'm like, I could actually be okay maybe pivoting away from red zone and just like locking into this game for a while. It looks like it's going to be such a fun one. And obviously there is, you guys know, a dynamic of the proximity of the two teams. And then Washington is feeling pretty good about themselves this year going up against the Ravens, who have, sort of always been in this spot. This is old hat to them. So I kind of feel like it's like a new money, old money type of dynamic going on that feels a little fun. Can the younger guys knock off the older guys? I feel like just on the surface, I'm not as in. I'm not ready to push all my chips in on the Commanders the way that I know a lot of people have. I just have some questions about some of the ways that they're doing this. I mean, first of all, and this is not, I don't want to rain on any parades. What Jaden Daniels has done so far has been so impressive, and they should be so excited. They clearly got a rookie quarterback who at least gives them a chance to win every game. And it's awesome that we're even having this conversation about the Commanders and the Ravens. But I do feel like their opponent level in the last few weeks when they've been blowing up on the defensive side of the ball in particular, it hasn't been particularly great. And they do some weird things. One thing that I have my eye on for this week, really always, I keep mentioning it, and I think people are like, shut up about the left wide receiver rates, Lindsay. Cliff Kingsbury has historically done this as a coach, and I think it's so weird that he takes his number one wide receiver and he pretty much locks him down at left wide receiver. They almost always, like DeAndre Hopkins, it was true. You take him out of there and all of a sudden the left wide receiver rate goes down. It's not specific to the person. They've been doing that with Terry McLaurin this year. Like 80% of the time in every game except for one has he played 80%+ of his snaps at left wide receiver. Last week I went through the next gen charts, you know, those charts that show like the routes and stuff like that. And I was just looking, not even looking for this, just looking for anything that popped that felt a little bit out of ordinary for the entire league. And the one that popped, of course, is Terry McLaurin. Literally every single route that he ran on a target of his was on the left side of the field. So it just feels like a smart defensive coordinator at some point, maybe that's this week, will be like, hey, we know exactly where he's going to be. That makes him easier to defend. Let's send a couple of bodies that way. I mean, I realize that's harder to do because of Jaden Daniels' scrambling ability, but let's just take him out of the game. And then what do they have, other than Jaden?
Yep.
Yeah. There you go. And she's co-host of the Sumer Sports Show and the Fantasy Dirt Podcast on SI. She is Lindsay Rhodes. Lindsay, thank you so much for your time. How can folks follow you on social media?
Lindsay _ Rhodes on Twitter and Lindsay Rhodes NFL on Instagram.
Thanks a lot,
Lindsay. Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time.
Absolutely. She was good.
It's nice to hear somebody talk pleasantly about what the Ravens have done so far.
Yes.
And like, you know, the same things we've all been talking about Washington this week. We're not trying to trash the Commanders. It's just a matter, Rob, of like what you brought up. It's a little too soon. And, and if they come in and have an impressive game, then crown them.
But let's pump the brakes a little until that happens. Mike Locksley, head coach of Maryland football, joins us at 9:30. But on the other side, Jeremy Kahn. Let me see. I got 17 cents.
What can you get for... Oh, sorry. All right, well, here's what we're going to do. Yesterday was not a great day for me. I hate saying that. I had my top play hit overall. My next best play pushed. We'll talk about that. But today is one of those days. You've got your choice. WNBA Finals. NHL regular season is underway. NFL game tonight. Major League Baseball, we got two games. And there's college football where I like one of the games. So I'll throw those out to you next here on The Fan. Yeah, it kind of makes you wonder, like, how do you get to that point where it's bases loaded and you're pitching to the guy that could have very easily been the MVP in the league after kind of dominating the game? But that's what happened. That's courtesy of Mets Radio Network. A really cool moment in the postseason. Not if you're a Phillies fan. A lot of disappointed teams now, depending on whoever loses out of Padres and Dodgers. Yankees, Royals. It's an elimination game for the Royals today. Tigers and Guardians. Elimination game for the Guardians today. And it's just kind of interesting the way that things shape up. Yesterday, not a great day for me. I talked about this. Look, I hate facing the music when this stuff happens, but it is what it is. I had the Phillies-Mets under was my top play. That hit. Even with that grand slam. I saw the grand slam. I got
it
a push.
Did hit?
Huh?
What was the over?
7.5. It was 4-1. Yeah. So, like, in this game, it's funny. I got the push notification. This is why I put my TV up when I put my phone up when I'm watching sports on TV. I get the push notification on my phone first, and I'm like, oh, no. Because, like, of course, I don't mind the Mets winning. I've told you, I've been rooting for them in the National League, even though I have a bet that the Dodgers are going to get to the World Series. Yikes. So this Mets team's just been unbelievable, and there have been a lot of things in betting on postseason baseball that have just made it incredibly difficult. And, again, I know some people are going to say, oh, you're making excuses. No. We go back to the Dodgers game we had the other day where there were 6 runs scored in a half inning and 4 runs scored in the other. If you're looking for a blowout-type game, you're either attacking a pitcher or the bullpen. None of the bullpens that we've seen get blown up in the postseason were bad bullpens. So it's very hard to go. And usually if you're attacking a bullpen, you might have realized that a team's in the third game and they've used all their best arms, and you're going, okay, I could see the bullpen getting lit up, so I like this team later if they have to go to them. A lot of times if you think there's going to be a big scoring game, you're going based off of the starting pitchers and how the hitters go against them. And none of these things have been stuff that you can really equate or, in my mind, use figured out mathematically. It's either you're going, oh, my God, I think you could have looked at the Padres-Dodgers and said, I think they're going to score a ton of runs. Well, why? Because the offenses are good. Okay, well, why? We see good offenses all the time in games that are 3-0, 2-1, whatever. It just happens. So in looking at these games, I really feel like they've been drunk. I liked the Royals yesterday. Yankees beat them. I ended up, the Dodgers under was my second favorite play at 8. They won 8-0. Thanks a lot. And then some of the other things too, like college, I even talked about the ancillary plays. I didn't hit in the NHL last night. There is an NHL play I like, which I'm going to get to here in a sec. But I just feel like baseball postseason has been incredibly tough. I mean, you can sit here and play the favorites as much as you want and hope that it happens, but we've seen a lot of underdogs move on. So let's get to tonight. NHL, the one thing I like, fading the public. Montreal and Boston over 6. I think we see some goals here. And I know Boston's typically a team that people look at and think, I don't want to say they slow it down, but they're pretty good defensively, and they've been a solid team. So they were a team last year that I think a lot of times you'd see me taking unders on, and I will this year, but I'm always looking for spots. And here's the thing about me and why I love this with hockey, and I'm saying this to all my subscribers yesterday. I was like, hey, I know I don't know anything about hockey. I can talk intelligently about hockey and have a conversation with Ed, even though I don't know anything about it because I followed it. I'm sorry, with Rob, because sometimes Ed chimes in, but Rob's our hockey guy. But again, I'm not looking at this from a standpoint. There are no biases with me with hockey. It's strictly about the money, the line movement, and everything else.
Definitely don't have a team.
No, I don't care.
Rangers beat the Penguins 6-0 last night.
See, and that's that probably made you feel pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty good. But I am going to take Montreal and Boston over 6. College football, I'm going to take Middle Tennessee State plus the points against La Tech. I don't like the other two games tonight. Smaller schools, not really large spreads, or not really like smaller spreads, excuse me. We have Coastal Carolina versus James Madison, 60.5-point total. James Madison favored by 9. Western Kentucky minus 19 against UTEP. Some of these big numbers on weeknights just bother me. I don't like messing with the big numbers, period, but every once in a while, something will put you on a game where you're like, I think this is what's going to happen. Like me with Liberty the other night, and then they end up going to overtime. Mm-hmm. Jackasses. The Liberty.
Whoa.
Anyway.
Whoa.
Dude, they start off the game by letting the other team get on the board by fumbling for a touchdown.
Everything personal? Why does he have to make everything personal?
Screw Aaron Rodgers. Screw the Liberty.
Why do you hate the Mets and the Jets? Because of you.
Exactly. I hate Liberty so much for what they did this week. I don't want justice for all. Anyway, that being said, sorry, Ed. Liberty and justice for all. Anyway,
we got you. Don't explain it.
I'm trying to.
Anyway. WNBA. Don't be that comedian.
WNBA, I like the under here in game one. Minnesota and New York, I'd give a slight lean to New York minus the 5.5. But I do think this goes under the 159. MLB, I'm going Yankees Royals over. If you guys are wondering about the pitching match today, Garrett Cole is going for the Yankees, and he will be pitching against Waka Waka Waka, Michael Waka. And I feel like Garrett Cole does not scare me in the least bit. I know he has the capabilities of shutting somebody down for 7 innings. He gives up a lot of long balls.
I think he could take you, though.
Maybe. To dinner. I like Tanner Bibee, Reese Olson. I've told you this before. Reese Olson looks like he's 11 years old with his rosy red cheeks. I do think he can keep Cleveland at bay. I feel like Detroit is just almost like the Royals being in the Orioles' heads here and not being able to score. Cleveland can't score.
There's 20 consecutive innings.
They can't score.
20 consecutive innings.
So I'm going to ride with this in Detroit, getting it done at home, and Detroit going to the ALCS, in my opinion, tonight.
They scored 13 runs.
Yeah, you know it. That's how drunk baseball playoffs have been. In the NFL tonight, going to get your guys' take, and if you want to make your pick for tonight, this is a really tough game to pick, I think, just the winner. San Francisco's favored by 3.5, maybe 4 in some places on the road at Seattle. The total's 49.5. So a couple things I like on this game real quick. I like the over at 49.5. I think we see points here. Kenneth Walker coming back. I think both these teams move up and down the field on them. I wouldn't be surprised if DK Metcalf ends up being right and he has a career night. But we shall see. I think it's a good game to tease, taking Seattle up to the 9.5, plus 9.5, plus 10. And I don't usually give out teasers. It's not something I like to do. And an over 43.5, I think, is a very good play for Thursday night if you want to dabble in that. But the over in the NFL game would be my favorite play alongside the WNBA under and the Yankees Royals going over, my three favorite plays.
And coverage of Thursday Night Football begins right here on 105.7 The Fan at 7:30. We'll talk some college football, Maryland Terps style. They have a Friday night game under the lights down there in College Park. Coach Mike Locksley joins us up next on The Fan.
The Big Bad Daily Line. 105.7 The Fan.
Now the pitch. Swing and a drive towards the gap in right center. It's pretty deep. It's back near the wall. It's gone. It's gone. Francisco Lindor. He may have just outdone himself. He has hit a grand slam into the Phillies bullpen in right center field. The Mets are leading by a score of 4-1. They were famished for the big hit all night. And Francisco Lindor just provided a feast.
Yeah, it kind of makes you wonder, like, how do you get to that point where it's bases loaded and you're pitching to the guy that could have very easily been the MVP in the league after kind of dominating the game? But that's what happened. That's courtesy of Mets Radio Network. A really cool moment in the postseason. Not if you're a Phillies fan. A lot of disappointed teams now, depending on whoever loses out of Padres and Dodgers. Yankees Royals, it's an elimination game for the Royals today. Tigers and Guardians, elimination game for the Guardians today. And it's just kind of interesting the way that things shape up. Yesterday, not a great day for me. I talked about this. Look, I hate facing the music when this stuff happens, but it is what it is. I had the Phillies-Mets under was my top play. That hit. Even with that grand slam. I saw the grand slam. I got a
big hit?
Huh?
What was the over?
7.5. It was 4-1. Yeah. So, like, in this game, it's funny. I got the push notification. This is why I put my TV up when I put my phone up when I'm watching sports on TV. I get the push notification on my phone first, and I'm like, oh, no. Like, because, of course, I don't mind the Mets winning. I've told you, I've been rooting for them in the National League, even though I have a bet that the Dodgers are going to get to the World Series. Yikes. So, this Mets team's just been unbelievable, and there have been a lot of things in betting on postseason baseball that have just made it incredibly difficult. And, again, I know some people are going to say, oh, you're making excuses. No. We go back to the Dodgers game we had the other day where there were 6 runs scored in a half inning and 4 runs scored in the other. If you're looking for a blowout-type game, you're either attacking a pitcher or the bullpen. None of the bullpens that we've seen get blown up in the postseason were bad bullpens. So it's very hard to go. And then usually if you're attacking a bullpen, you might have realized that a team's in the third game and they've used all their best arms, and you're going, okay, I could see the bullpen getting lit up, so I like this team later if they have to go to them. A lot of times if you think there's going to be a big scoring game, you're going based off of the starting pitchers and how the hitters go against them. And none of these things have been stuff that you can really equate or, in my mind, use figured out mathematically. It's either you're going, oh, my God, I think you could have looked at the Padres-Dodgers and said, I think they're going to score a ton of runs. Well, why? Because the offenses are good. Okay, well, why? We see good offenses all the time in games that are 3-0, 2-1, whatever. It just happens. So in looking at these games, I really feel like they've been drunk. I liked the Royals yesterday. Yankees beat them. I ended up, the Dodgers under was my second favorite play at 8. They won 8-0. Thanks a lot. And then some of the other things too, like college, I even talked about the ancillary plays. I didn't hit in the NHL last night. There is an NHL play I like, which I'm going to get to here in a sec. But I just feel like baseball postseason has been incredibly tough. I mean, you can sit here and play the favorites as much as you want and hope that it happens, but we've seen a lot of underdogs move on. So let's get to tonight. NHL, the one thing I like, fading the public. Montreal and Boston over 6. I think we see some goals here. And I know Boston's typically a team that people look at and think, I don't want to say they slow it down, but they're pretty good defensively, and they've been a solid team. So they were a team last year that I think a lot of times you'd see me taking unders on, and I will this year, but I'm always looking for spots. And here's the thing about me and why I love this with hockey, and I'm saying this to all my subscribers yesterday. I was like, hey, I know I don't know anything about hockey. I can talk intelligently about hockey and have a conversation with Ed, even though I don't know anything about it because I followed it. I'm sorry, with Rob, because sometimes Ed chimes in, but Rob's our hockey guy. But again, I'm not looking at this from a standpoint. There are no biases with me with hockey. It's strictly about the money, the line movement, and everything else.
Definitely don't have a team.
No, I don't care.
Rangers beat the Penguins 6-0. Best night.
And that probably made you feel pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty good. But I am going to take Montreal and Boston over 6. College football, I'm going to take Middle Tennessee State plus the points against La Tech. I don't like the other two games tonight. Smaller schools, not really large spreads, or not really like smaller spreads, excuse me. We have Coastal Carolina versus James Madison, 60.5 point total. James Madison favored by 9. Western Kentucky minus 19 against UTEP. Some of these big numbers on weeknights just bother me. I don't like messing with the big numbers, period. But every once in a while, something will put you on a game where you're like, I think this is what's going to happen. Like me with Liberty the other night, and then they end up going to overtime. Mm-hmm. Jackasses. The Liberty.
Whoa.
Anyway.
Whoa.
Dude, they start off the game by letting the other team get on the board by fumbling for a touchdown.
Everything personal? Why does he have to make everything personal?
Screw Aaron Rodgers. Screw the Liberty.
Why do you hate the Mets and the Jets? Because of you.
Exactly. I hate Liberty so much for what they did this week. I don't want justice for all. Anyway, that being said, sorry, Ed. Liberty and justice for all. Anyway,
we got you. Don't explain it.
WNBA.
Don't be that comedian.
WNBA, I like the under here in game one. Minnesota and New York, I'd give a slight lean to New York minus the 5.5. But I do think this goes under the 159. MLB, I'm going Yankees Royals over. If you guys are wondering about the pitching match today, Garrett Cole is going for the Yankees, and he will be pitching against Waka Waka Waka, Michael Waka. And I feel like Garrett Cole does not scare me in the least bit. I know he has the capabilities of shutting somebody down for 7 innings. He gives up a lot of long balls.
I think he could take you, though.
Maybe. To dinner. I like Tanner Bibee, Reese Olsen. I've told you this before. Reese Olsen looks like he's 11 years old with his rosy red cheeks. I do think he can keep Cleveland at bay. I feel like Detroit is just almost like the Royals being in the Orioles' heads here, not being able to score. Cleveland can't score.
There's 20 consecutive innings.
They can't score.
20 consecutive innings.
So I'm going to ride with this in Detroit, getting it done at home, and Detroit going to the ALCS, in my opinion,
yeah, but
tonight.
They scored 13 runs.
You know it. That's how drunk baseball playoffs have been. In the NFL tonight, going to get your guys' take, and if you want to make your pick for tonight, this is a really tough game to pick, I think, just the winner. San Francisco's favored by 3.5, maybe 4 in some places, on the road at Seattle. The total's 49.5. So a couple things that I like on this game real quick. I like the over at 49.5. I think we see points here. Kenneth Walker coming back. I think both these teams move up and down the field on him. I wouldn't be surprised if DK Metcalf ends up being right and he has a career night. But we shall see. I think it's a good game to tease, taking Seattle up to the 9.5, plus 9.5, plus 10. And I don't usually give out teasers. It's not something I like to do. And an over 43.5, I think, is a very good play for Thursday night if you want to dabble in that. But the over in the NFL game would be my favorite play alongside the WNBA under and the Yankees-Royals going over. My three favorite plays.
And coverage of Thursday Night Football begins right here on 105.7 The Fan at 7:30. We'll talk some college football, Maryland Terp style. They have a Friday night game under the lights down there in College Park. Coach Mike Locksley joins us up next on The Fan. Buffalo Zoe has a funny cop story for us. What's up, Buffalo Zoe?
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I was down Canton, and you know when the train comes, everybody usually had a halt.
Yeah.
So I goes around the traffic, not seeing an unmarked car. So when they lit me up, I already knew it was for me. Pulls over, and the officer, you know, come up, do what he does. He gives me a warning, but when I look at the ticket, you wouldn't believe what the name said. His first initial was D, last name Blue Ball. I thought it was the funniest stuff I ever
heard. Now, having said that, Buffalo Zoe, Buffalo Zoe, I'd have given your ass a ticket for that.
2 hours later.
By the way, there was something we should bring up. You and I got the text. Remember Zoe called in earlier today about... He got pulled over down in Canton at the train by Officer D. Blueball.
Yeah.
Well, D. Blueball is checked in.
Yeah. Both of us.
This is Corporal D. Blueball. I hear I've been summoned this morning. Zoe is a good dude. Take it easy on him. We just needed to chat for a minute. That's awesome, man.
So, like, if you're working and he jumps in your radio car, does that mean you have blue balls?
Well, is it just him, or is he bringing his wife? Or
I don't know. Maybe. I mean,
his whole family has blue balls, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of Officer Blue Ball, though, I got a call from another person. He's on a softball team. It's a bunch of MDTA police officers. They've won the championship 2 years in a row. Mm-hmm. But his teammate called in and said he couldn't believe that they were actually talking about him this morning. He's like, that guy? I know that guy.
Blue Ball.
And that's the encore for the day. Now, Ed, did you listen to Buffalo Zoe's explanation again?
Yeah.
At no point did I hear him say he banged a U-turn. He said he went around the traffic. So that's why I thought he went across the track.
I'm
not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying from his explanation, like, so I go around the car.
I'm pretty sure he did what I'm thinking he did. I mean, I could be wrong, too. But, like, from going that route so many times, everybody does it.
Oh, yeah. You're right. And I didn't think about it until you explained it.
Is it a ticket for disobeying the traffic signal?
Pavement markings, illegal U-turn. Okay. There's a lot of things you could do.
Gotcha. Because I lived down there, I had to do that all the time. I can't stay in that train.
And Corporal Blue Boss said, he just wanted to talk to him for a little bit. A lot of times when you, I know when I was a police, I'm sure you did too, and there was certain things that were done, certain violations, and you weren't going to write it up. You just want to have an explanation with somebody. What were you thinking? What were you actually thinking to do that? You know, there are times I would ask people that. What were you thinking? Why would you do that?
And then depending on the answer?
Oh, I remember. I have my mind. I have my mind made up I wasn't going to say it. They had to escalate me.
It depends on what the female said in the passenger seat.
Yeah.
The most trouble I've ever had was always from wives and girlfriends.
The driver,
the guy could be polite as hell, and then she's chirping from the other side. And I would say, you got to get her correct here because this is getting my nerves.
Shut your mouth.
You're right, though. The female, why'd you stop him? I'm talking
to him. We didn't do nothing.
Yeah.
I pay your salary. Yeah, I pay into my own, too.
But yeah, on a stop like that, Joe, I had my mind made up. I wasn't going to cite him. He'd had to escalate. He or she had to really escalate me to get me there. I just wanted to give him a little lesson. Give him a little legal lesson.
I do love the fact that Corporal Blue Ball is the talk of the precinct, right? Or what's it?
The whole department.
Yeah, everybody's talking about him.
They took the audio clip and it's making its way around the MBTA police.
That's pretty awesome. They're
good guys.
Superstar.
They always help me out.
He's a superstar now.
When I got pulled over this morning, I told the guy, I said, I know Ed Norris. And then he gave me two tickets. What'd you do to that guy?
You got a warning.
I did get a warning.
Don't let facts get away your story. Now it's time for you to find out what we learned today. As Ed would call it, what's the day?
Friday Eve, babe.
Ed, what'd you learn on this Friday Eve?
Well, I just, you know, all this with Jeremy getting stopped this morning and Officer Blue Balls, and then we got, you know, talk about women causing problems for their men when they're getting pulled over. I had one that was actually like that. Like in New York, when it was, I wasn't a highway cop, motorcycle cop, but I was a mounted cop. But when it was hard, when it was impossible for the horses to be outside, like it was very icy or some kind of conditions like that, where it's dangerous, they put us on the highway, and we had the same uniform with the, you know, the riding breeches and the boots and stuff. So I pulled over this couple, old couple, and the guy's like, I'm sorry. I said, well, sir, you're doing 75 and a 55, so, you know. So his wife was a little hard of hearing. She goes, what'd he say? He said we're speeding. I said, yes. Give me your license and registration, please. She's like, what's he want? He's like, just license and registration. Excuse me, let me get it out of the glove box. So I get it, and oddly enough, I said, oh, you guys from Maryland, huh? He's like, yeah. I said, that's funny. I said, I have memories of Maryland. I said, one of the worst pieces of ass I ever had was in Maryland. She's like, what's he saying now? He said he thinks he knows you.
That's so good.
A couple of national days today. I'm going to ask a dumb question, and that's fine. Today is National Angel Food Cake. What in the hell is angel food cake? I've heard of it my entire life.
It's unfrosted, unfilled, spongy cake that's slightly sweet. It's delicious, though.
I've heard about it all my life. I don't think I've ever had it.
You
got to
kind of put fruit on it.
Because you ain't an angel. That's why you can't have it.
Why you always got to hurt me? Why must you hurt me?
Hurt people.
Okay, that's why.
And well,
speaking of cake, today is
the
also
straight jacket fits.
Also, National Cake Decorating Day. Today is National Handbag Day. Is your wife a handbag lady?
No. Well, yes and no. She carries giant tote bags.
Okay.
Because she's got to have like her water with electrolytes in it, her yerba mate tea, and a protein shake all in this bag, along with, you know, makeup and wallets and things.
I was going to say, do you both have men bags or like?
No.
You do, don't you? Like a man purse?
I have a ton of men bags.
Yeah.
Ton.
Your wife a handbag lady?
To a degree. Like, she has a smaller purse she takes around, not like a big handbag.
Stephanie's a big, my daughter, she's a big time. Stephanie and Brianna, they're both big time handbag girls. Hmm. Big time. Yeah.
I get it.
Every week seems like something's coming to the house. There's also National Walk to a Park Day.
Walk to a park?
Yeah. I got a park like right down the street from me.
Me too.
Does it count if I drive by Park Heights?
No, how about get out the car and walk the Park Heights? Why not, Jeremy?
Oh, huh? What? I just got confirmation.
All right, this was important. Lieutenant Dan riding out the storm on his boat is fine. He's okay. He's confirmed. All right. There was also a rumor that he was a influencer, so it was all fake. But
could have been. But he does have a leg to stand on, though, right?
Just one.
Some birthdays in sports. Today is the 71st birthday for Gus Williams, former basketball player.
Okay, yeah.
Brett Favre turns 55 today.
He's an a-hole. You don't get a happy birthday.
John Mobley turns 51 today. Paul Posluszny, former linebacker for the Jaguars, right?
Yeah.
He turned 40 today. I think so.
Was it Pitt or Penn State?
No, Penn State.
Penn State, yeah.
And Troy Tulowitzki turns 40 years old today. Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Pat the Bat, Pat Burrell, both share a birthday. Ed, who's older? Dale Earnhardt Jr., Pat Burrell, formerly of the Philadelphia Phillies. Who's older?
Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Thanks. Okay. All right.
I'm going to go Pat Burrell.
Pat Burrell? Joe?
I'll go Dale.
You go Dale?
Dale Jr.
Jeremy, this doesn't happen often. You're the only one wrong. Dale Earnhardt today turns 50. Pat Burrell turns 48.
I wasn't wrong. You just gave out the wrong answer. Oh, man. You know, there's a lot of things that we can go over today. I ran into a lamppost yesterday. Luckily, I only sustained light injuries. My wife, she's not a great cook, but she can start an argument from scratch. It's so stupid. All right, here we go. I told my doctor I broke my arm in two places. He said, you probably shouldn't go back to those places.
I knew it. Yeah.
I'm not reading that one.
Sorry. Why not?
This one, I don't like this.
Do it.
It was just bad. Okay. What do you call someone who's great at making children fall asleep? A kidnapper. See, something like that. Yeah. Yeah, you got it? Get why I didn't want to say it? Here you go. what did Super Mario say to his girlfriend when he broke up with her? It's not to you, but it's to me, a Mario.
I know it.
It's to me.
Give me the punchline again.
It's not to you. It's a me, a Mario. What do you call a baby deer that wears goofy hats?
Huh? I don't like.
What's your name? What do you call a baby deer that wears goofy hats? A weirdo.
No. A doe isn't a baby deer.
It's a drop of sun?
Doe is a female deer.
Anyway, a dolphin.
Don't let the facts get in the way.
A dolphin will never do anything by accident. Everything they do is on purpose. Last one for you here. I got a really super bad habit of running red lights. I really need to stop.
And speeding and tailgating.
Shut up. Shut up, Ed. Thank you, officer, for earlier.
Vinny and Haney up next.
Trooper.
Have yourselves a safe and wonderful. What day is it, Ed?
Friday, babe.